Hi, I'm Karen Connable. I played Judy and Chucky in Plus One and Mrs. Peacock in Home. And you're listening to the X-Cast.
Welcome back, everyone, to the X-Cast. The truth is in here. I am your host, Tony Black, once again, and as part of our coverage of episode 4 of season 11, The Lost Art of Forehead Sweat, I still love that title, it's just amazing. I'm really delighted to be joined by the, I'd say probably the main guest star of that episode, Mr. Brian Husky. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me via Skype.
Good old Skype.
Just a little promotional thing for Skype there.
It's really great to have you on, Brian. So I really appreciate you doing this and talking about the this episode that you're on, which as we record is a big mystery, to be honest, in many ways.
Me too. I haven't seen the final cut, so it could be terrible, but I don't with Darren in charge of it.
Yeah. Well, going by Darren Morgan's previous episodes, I think we're all salivating for this one.
I mean, not to toot my own horn, but here I go tooting my own horn. But all the reviews of the season have cited that one as sort of like the standout, which is really great.
So I've already said I had Dean Haglund on the show who plays Langley a few weeks ago, and he famously now spoiled the second episode for me. With the plot before we saw it, which we agreed it was fine. He was happy to do that. So do you want to do the same? Do you want to tell me about your character and a little bit about the episode? Because this will have gone out, obviously, after. So tell us about Reggie.
Well, Reggie is... I guess there's one plot point that I will hold back. But Reggie is someone who shows up to Scully and... Oh my God! You know what? I just forgot the character's name. Scully popped up in my head. I was like, oh, the other one.
That's good. You got the other one. Yes,
Scully, the other one. he shows up and he says, like, look, I know we our last case was the last one we've ever done together, but there's one more case I need help with. And they're like, what are you talking about? And my character reveals that there is a force in play that is. Altering everyone's collective memories. And so people will have a different view of the same memory. And so they don't remember that we used to work together. And I'm coming back and saying, like, of course you don't remember because your memory has been altered of, you know, the past. And so it's revealed that I was a member of the X-Files team.
Amazing.
It's pretty great. And so it's this whole thing of just sort of trying to get to the core of that, of, you know, what's happening and why. And then there, you know, there is a plot point I feel like I shouldn't reveal, you know.
Okay.
I won't do that. I don't know. I mean, if we're talking about this after the fact, then people are like, well, we know what you're not talking about, so...
Yeah, it's to spare me, I suppose. But I mean, I don't mind. Go ahead, Brian. If you want to talk about it, it's fine.
It's a little M. Night Shyamalan, just in the fact that it turns out that I'm crazy, that this is all in my head.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, okay. The escaped mental patient. But I have this very elaborate revisionist history that I was a member of the X-Files. And in shooting, it was great because they actually go back and insert me in some sort of famous X-Files scenes. Oh.
Amazing.
Yeah, so I got to go and for this episode, I can't remember. I feel like I had 21 costume looks.
Wow.
Yeah, because it's all over. It's like, you know, flashbacks to past episodes, and then, you know, to this mysterious hospital in South America, and to the present day, and then, you know, all sorts of stuff. It's all over the place. then the really interesting thing is it has a very not holding its punches back sort of criticism of Trump. And it's basically this kind of thing of it's the perspective of between like people seeing Trump and what and how he is as a president and being like, you see this, right? This guy's terrible and crazy and just wreaking havoc. And then other people is like, I don't know. He seems he's pretty good. So, and the good thing about this episode also it also involves aliens, which I know a lot of fans. Uh-huh. Let's get back to aliens, guys. Let's get some.
Yeah, we haven't had that many aliens, like actual aliens, turn up for a while. So
good to go back to the roots. But since it is Darren Morgan episode, it's humorous and quirky and sort of plays with a lot of genre ideas and stuff.
Well, I've always thought that his episodes almost feel like a little pocket universe in the X-Files. Yeah. They're their own kind of little thing that is separate. So it's always fun. It's great because there's a whole group of them now. You can have like a little Darren Morgan like day of X-Files episodes, which is great. Like a little marathon. So how did this come about then? You guest starring on the episode. Were you approached by Darren Morgan and how did it come to be?
I did an audition for it, but I have to give a shout out to Kumail Nanjiani, who is an actor, and also like I mainly do comedy, and he does comedy too. And he had done an episode last season, and Kumail and I had worked on a network TV show, and he just said mentioned me for a part to him. He's like, Brian Husky is great, and like, you know, cool to hang out with, which I am. And and I guess it just sort of put, and Darren's like, yeah, I do like that guy. I forgot about him. He's not exactly right for this part, but I think Darren just sort of filed me away. And so then when I came in for the audition, you know, I think I did a good job, apparently. And just had, I think that thing of him having a little bit of sort of pre-existing faith in me helped out a lot. But for me, it was a good, you know, just as a journeyman actor, it's a good thing of you, like, you never know. Like, you never know if you go in for something you might not be right for now, and then 2 years later, it pays off that you made a good impression. So always do your best, kids.
There's the lesson. It's really nice that Kumail Nanjiani recommended you, though. I mean, yeah, he was in the last Darren Morgan one, wasn't he, as you said, and he's great. He's had a great X-Files year, really, with the big sick and all the X-Files jokes that's a great movie. That's really nice. So what scenes did you do in the audition? Were they scenes from this episode, or were they different ones? How did it work?
I think it's the first two encounters with both Scully and the other guy. Mulder, guys, we know it's Mulder.
We might just call him that now on this podcast. Scully and that guy, what's his name again? So yeah, it was. What was it like then working with Darren Morgan? Was it a particularly interesting experience? Because he's, you know, obviously he's one of the most loved like writer directors on the X-Files, and everyone I think thinks that his method or his approach would be really different maybe from other directors. But yeah, what was that like?
It was funny because he sort of told me going in, because I did it like my audition. I treated it very seriously. Like I played to the stakes of like how intense this guy was, and that he seemed unhinged, and that something was troubling him enough that he even though he was trying to sort of like persuade them to join him on this sort of cracking this case, that he's barely able to sort of keep his anxieties in check and stuff. And he was like, that was great. That's exactly what you need to do. It's like, but just know that I'm going to have you do the take that you want to do first. And I'm going to ask you to do like a ridiculous campy version of it. Like really sort of tongue in cheek, like bad 1970s kind of like, you know, cop drama stuff or something. And then, you know, we'll pick and choose stuff that we like if we want to combine it. But literally, he was like, he asked me to do, like, he's like, give a Don Knotts sort of double take when you see this. And, you know, just really goofy stuff. And then we just sort of do more down the middle. So that was interesting. And he's definitely a writer, because writers usually, you know, they have their ideas, and when they kind of hand them over to actors or put them out, you know, for execution, they have their own anxiety around it. So it was interesting that he started as a writer, and he's always got that. And so as a director, he has his idea that he's trying to execute, but there's a little bit of like, please don't hurt my idea. Please don't judge me for this weird idea that I have. But he was complete. I love him. Like he was very supportive and fun, collaborative, which I think is the best way to approach mainly anything that has a, you know, comedy. Cause it's like, even if it's written on the page, once you start to do it, it's going to have a different taste or feel or sound to it. So he's open to kind of like fudging a line or, you know, massaging it a little bit or something. And then, he would be very apologetic. He'd give me a note. It's like, is that okay? Are you cool? You're the director. You're in charge. Like, stop saying I'm the director. I think you know that you are, right? Everybody's listening to you.
Yeah.
He's just a very down-to-earth, you know, guy. Not one of these directors that's sort of like, I am God. Welcome to my universe.
That doesn't surprise me, really. And it's interesting how, like you say, he allows you to sort of massage some of the lines or improvise in places. Because his scripts always feel very precise, really, mm-hmm. with a lot of the way he writes and the structure of it. So it's always been a hopefully one day I'll get to speak to him about all this if we're lucky enough. But yeah, he seems to really have specific ideas. It's great that you got to play around with it and everything. I suppose as someone who writes comedy yourself and performs comedy, it must be a really interesting experience in that way.
Yeah. I mean, it's always interesting for me when I do drama stuff, because it's, I think for me, I get more nervous if I feel like I'm very beholden to exactly the word, you know, and the exact idea, mainly because of what I said. Like, I feel like once you put it on its feet and stuff, and you're reacting to the other actors and stuff, it'll change, and you have to kind of allow those moments to happen. So I think he was good in that, you know, going back what you said, he's very precise. He's very precise in the construction of the overall idea. And he was really good about explaining why in this super dramatic moment he wants me to do a goofy look or whatever. And then when he would sort of tell me, I was like, that's great. Because he has it mapped out. Like, he's precise in the sense of he has it mapped out for what the edit's going to be and what he's going to use in the scene, and how, you know, ending on saying the line. And this is where, you know, starting with what I said about working in drama where they have a precise idea. It helps if somebody has a precise idea and they let you know what it is, as opposed to like, you know, try to figure out what's in my head. You don't know? Well, yeah. I guess you're not good enough to be me. And he was really good. If you say the line sort of on a down note at the end of this, my cut to the next scene won't have the same feeling. So if you could just do it with a little, and that kind of stuff is great. Because then you're not just doing your scenes, you're participating in the whole piece, which is great.
That collaboration, as you said. Yeah.
Because as a guest actor, a guest star, a lot of times you feel like you just kind of like parachute in, say your line, and then to be in an episode where I was there front to back and I got a lot of screen time, that's pretty sweet.
Well, yeah, that's the impression I'm getting from what you're saying. Obviously, you know, everyone who's listening to this will know that by now they're listening. But yeah, it does feel like you're an integral part of. And he does like to do that, doesn't he? Yeah. I mean, he does have a lot with a lot of his episodes. He has these very key guest stars like Clyde Bruckman's Final Repose, which is one of his best ones from years ago. Peter Boyle had this really central part to that. So it's great that he writes these kind of characters who are, you know, I mean, I've every faith that Reggie will be another really memorable character.
This, I was not a, you know, I watched a little bit of X-Files, but I was not a devotee, but I'm well aware of like how iconic the series is and how much it means to people. And yeah, to have something that sort of feels like it is a role that is like, oh yeah, that, you know, it's kind of like getting like a little movie. It's like, oh, I gotta meet in a little movie. It's really cool.
Well, that I was going to ask you that actually about what your relationship is to the show. As you say, you weren't a devotee, but yeah, how much had you seen of it before, or how much were you aware of it, I suppose, when you came to the role?
Well, I was well aware of it, and I when it first came out, I was my mid-20s, I think, and
right.
I had some roommates who were super into it, so I would check it out, but at that time, I was just not a sci-fi person so much.
Yeah.
But, it was inescapable. It just, the cultural sort of embrace of it was great. And I'm fans of both of the Duchovny and Gillian. They're I think they're fantastic actors. Like the stuff they've done apart from X-Files is really shows that. And they were great to work with. They're really cool.
Yeah, that was another thing I was going to ask. Yeah, because you presumably have had a lot of scenes with both of them, so mm-hmm. It must have been really great to work with them. What was the feeling like on set? Were they enjoying it? Was there a lot of laughs with this one? Because I imagine they enjoyed Darren Morgan episodes themselves. So
yeah, the only downside was pretty much all of our scenes were in parking decks, so it was pretty. It was just like being underground, concrete sort of like.
All right.
Yeah, prison for 3 days straight and stuff. but they're as I was nervous that it was going to be sort of like, oh my God, I'm walking into this established sort of, world. And they were just cool. You just hang out in between and chat, and everybody gets a little tired, at times. So you kind of retreat, go do your thing. And yeah, I think, I wanted to kind of test the waters. I always do. So I did a few bits or just said a few things early on, and they laughed and to them I was like, okay, cool, we have a dialogue, that's great. It the worst is where you sort of put it out there and they're like, ugh, no way.
Sounds like you've had that happen before.
Yeah. That's happened before. I learned early on that you don't, when you're doing a network TV drama, that you don't add a button you don't during the rehearsal, you don't add a button, because they get very nervous. Yeah. That's how this is? Okay, cool.
I don't know if people, I'm saying this, people may well be aware, but you've been so many things over the years, so many really, themselves quite iconic or, hugely popular shows and movies and things like that.
Yeah.
So it must be, does it feel almost like, I know the X-Files is off, something else in a way, I suppose. It's such a big iconic thing, but does it feel like you've been on other kinds of projects where you've had that sort of touch with, wow, I'm on Curb Your Enthusiasm, or I'm on, something like this, something that's really gone into the popular culture.
Yeah. No, I think, because I'm an actor, I always kind of lead with insecurity or downplaying, out of self-protection, you kind of downplay stuff. You're like, it's not a big deal. But
yeah,
if I think about it, I've been completely blessed and honored to be part of, that I do stuff on Veep and I do stuff for cartoon series here called Bob's Burgers. And they're just cool.
Yep.
That's just a good group of people. I think the through line for almost all of them has been the people behind it are just good, sane people. And I think that you just don't, I think when you work in chaos, you might sort of produce, you can easily produce, quality stuff, but it you put so much more emotional and mental energy battling that stuff. That these other shows just execute themselves in a great way, because I think they hire people that they want to be around and who are excited about the work. So, I have an improv teacher who's just like, we're asking advice about working and going out in the industry and stuff. He's like, just don't be a dick to people. Just don't be a dick.
Yeah.
Just don't spread bad energy or make other people responsible for your neediness if you have it and stuff. Just sort of,
It sounds like obvious advice, doesn't it? But I suppose it doesn't always happen in that way.
And it doesn't happen that way. And a lot of times it's hard to execute in the moment in a way, because as much as people will put on sort of a you know, straight face or, you know, I got this competent kind of thing, which is one of the reasons I like Darren, because he would occasionally be like, I don't know what I'm doing. I was like, yes, you do. You totally know what you're doing. You're just saying that to kind of calm yourself down. He's like, oh, totally. But everyone's freaking out. You know, everyone is a little behind their eyes a little bit. They're like, oh, my God, they're going to find out that I'm a sham and a fraud and stuff. So I do think that, you know, that can kind of leak out, you know, because there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of money involved in this stuff.
A lot of expectation.
A lot of expectations, yeah. Yeah. Especially with something like this. I think like a rebooting something must have been scary for them, you know, to kind of go back in and sort of, you know, walk back into that world and say like, here we are again. It's going to be just as good as before. No, it actually needs to be better. Okay. No pressure.
Yeah, this is it. And I think everyone's, you know, there's lots of fan debates as to whether or not it's, you know, it's the same kind of show or everything. But I think that the response to this season so far, you know, three episodes in, has been really, really positive on the whole.
Yeah.
You know, there's been a real, even among the fans who are maybe slightly critical of the previous season, I think overall, you know, the first five episodes obviously went out to critics and things like that, including yours. And yeah, the response has been fantastic. So I think there's a real buzz around it right now, which is exciting. We haven't felt that in a long time.
Was the response of the last season that, I mean, just in reading some of the reviews and stuff, I gauged that one of the criticisms was it was too serialized, that it was too much of a an ongoing sort of interwoven plot point as opposed to some of the kind of standalone encounters with like weird aliens and otherworldly situations.
It's telling that the most popular one was Darren Morgan's of that season, because it did feel like the older show and it was its own thing and it stood on its own, whereas the others, yeah, there was a little bit, and there was, people said six wasn't enough, and
right,
you know, there were various different criticisms for it. I mean, I enjoyed them all,
right,
and it did really well, you know, the ratings were stellar,
you know, because I feel like now television, you know, they always say we're in this golden age of television, and a lot of it is bingeable, built to kind of like keep you on the hook to find out what happens in the next episode. But with X-Files, it seems like there's like people really like the kind of standalone, just here's another case they're dealing with and it's wrapped up. You know, it's almost like it goes back to there are two different, you know, there's the kind of serialized execution of an idea that's sort of like the early like Western stage show in the movie theaters, like, to, you know, come in next week to find out what happens to, you know, people. And then there's the other version where it is sort of like a procedural, where it's like, there's a case, you wrap it up, and then there's another case.
Yeah. And it's funny, cause in the old days, and I'd include myself in this as a long-term fan, the thrill was in what we call the mythology episodes, the alien episodes, the continuing story. But in these days it is, like you say, it is the standalone episode. The one we've just had this week has gone down really well because it's its own thing. And that's why, again, Darren Morgan's episodes always go down well because they're their own thing. So I think people like just having something that stands apart. And I think that's...
In considering the reboot, if they had that kind of, if there's that kind of discussion of like, well, that seems to be sort of the approach now that's appealing to audiences, to have a bingeable, serialized effect to it. But if you're not releasing it as a bingeable thing, the audience doesn't have the same reaction. And, you know, it's like it's that debate between where is network television and then where is sort of like the Netflix and Amazon, where you can sort of get a whole series and devour it in one afternoon.
And I think with the X-Files, people didn't... That wasn't how it used to be. I mean, obviously, I know television's changed, as you say, but it was very much, you know, connected story. Then you'd have two or three standalone stories. So I think people struggled with the idea that you would binge the X-Files. Yeah. I don't think anyone likes the idea of binging it. I think it's one of those, which is interesting, really. But it has to evolve. It has to change with the times. But I think they've got the balance right with this season. It feels like they've got that balance of interwoven stories and standalone. So it's good. It's going down well, and it must be nice as to come on at this late stage. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about this being the last season of the show. There's a very good chance it will be, I think.
Yeah, you could sort of look at it as like I ended the series. It was in the last season of Herb, and I'll be in the last season of Veep this year. And so I'm the death nail for quality.
Yeah. Once you're on the last season, it's definite. It's definitely the last season once.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Once
yeah.
you're on it,
never cast me in the first season.
How do you feel about Veep then? Because Veep has gone down wonderfully in the US. Is it a bit sad to see that ending?
It is. Yeah, it is. But it feels appropriate, you know. For we've had to delay shooting because Julia has been dealing with some health issues, and they're just like giving her the time to kind of deal with it before we get back into it. But the series could have ended this year, you know. It's sort of like she tries to give it a go again, fails, they kind of get scattered to the wind, and then, you know, it could have ended on just them in sort of like the civilian sector, but it feels like one more stab at it is a good way to sort of like round it up.
Mm.
It's a kind of like, I think British television does a much better job of being like, let's just keep it as a perfect thing and not sort of drive it into the ground. And I don't think they've done that at all.
No.
I'm close with Matt Walsh, and he's like, I do this show forever. Like, I'm so happy doing it. But I think they're very respectful of what Armando created originally with the thick of it and stuff. And just that thing of like, just if it's quality, keep it quality. Don't sort of let it become a, you know, too much of like a franchise kind of thing.
Yeah. I was going to ask actually, because very different shows, I know, to the X-Files, but mm-hmm. Armando Iannucci is another one of those creatives like Chris Carter with the X-Files,
mm-hmm.
who I just think he's just brilliant. I think he's an absolute genius. So was it great working with him?
Oh, completely. And he is exemplary of that approach and spirit of like, we're hiring you. Like he said as such at the, cause I was up for one of the, like I did sort of like for the cast series regular, you know, tests and stuff. Mm. And he came in and he was like, I can't cast everyone here, but everyone who's here for this callback, there's something that I feel like you understand what we're doing here. And I would be excited to see what you bring to it. So if you don't end up as a series regular, you will be in the series. And he was good to that word, you know, with almost everybody. And he just does that. They don't do that as much now because I think the timeline is different, but it would be, you go in, they'd have a script, you'd rehearse it, you'd improvise some stuff. If they liked it, they incorporated it. If you sort of gave a different read and it changed the feeling of the scene, they'd incorporate it. So they had the added, he's not sort of like, he's basically, he sets up a world and invites other people to sort of like expand the world. And I think that's a sign of like, not only genius, but of confidence, you know, that he that he knows the genius he has is seeing the people and seeing the resources he has to sort of improve on what he built. And it's just a really great way of doing comedy, and it's just a great way of working. I think it's much more, increases exponentially the possible results as opposed to having like one result, you know. And in comedy is like, you know, you learn that from stand-ups will have a joke and they'll keep telling the joke, and the joke evolves and changes in reaction to the audience or the performer. But if they have the joke and like, this is my joke, it's the only way I'm going to do this, it you know, allow for any kind of growth or anything. So he's a good guy. He's a good guy too. Nice.
Yeah, I think it shows in Veep, really, which is absolutely brilliant. So it's going to be bittersweet to see that go, really. I think it's a great show. But I mean, obviously, you know, it's not just upcoming Veep, is it, for you? Because you've got something else in the pipeline, which is a TV special
that
you mentioned. So do you want to tell us about this?
I would love to. thank you for that opportunity. And I asked if I could do this. I do. There's a channel here called Adult Swim that is from like, it's on this network called Cartoon Network that from 11 p.m. on switches over to very experimental sort of alternative comedy. And a lot of stuff is really kind of like intense and dark and stuff. And for whatever reason, I always enjoy that kind of comedy. Mm. So last year I did a special called Mr. Neighbor's House. That's basically a very dark internal sort of like kid show that takes place in this guy's mind. And so we're doing another special of that this year. So that special is available on YouTube, but you can get on their website, which is very hard to navigate. I will admit that. Right. But you just search for Mr. Neighbor's House.
Okay.
And I'm very proud of it. It's very insane. And it's very dark. So people are going, it's like, oh, this will be a funny kind of like kids. Oh my God. Oh geez.
Yeah. Just, a parental advisory, maybe a little.
It's definitely a kid's show for adults.
So. Right. Yeah. You said when we were emailing back and forth, you mentioned how there's a sort of, I suppose it's a little bit like Reggie then, in some respects, in that there's this, you know, in someone's mind and that kind of thing, which is quite coincidental, yeah. I guess.
Well, it's interesting because I feel like that's kind of popping up a lot. I'm always curious as to why, you know, what zeitgeist stuff happens where it's, there'll be multiple shows that sort of deal with like the internal universe of your mind and how fragile it is and stuff. I mean, I've always been fascinated by that stuff, but you know, there are a few other people doing it, so it's pretty cool.
It's interesting as well how the most recent episode before yours and the X-Files has also dealt with mental illness in a very different way. It's also dealt with the mind and things like that. So yeah, it seems to be quite a prevalent idea right now.
I think, you know, I mean, just going back to like what Darren was doing with it being sort of an examination of how split we are in our country. I think, you know, people talk about this kind of like rift in identity. And I think, you know, your mind is an organ, but what it ends up executing and expressing is so much more than like if your heart doesn't work, it doesn't work or it works, but your mind can sort of force this person to become another person and have, you know, all these different ramifications in how that person interacts with the world and stuff. And so now this, you know, here in America, I feel like everybody's like the American dream is being questioned because like, what is that? Like what is the American dream? And everyone has a different kind of curated interpretation of it. And then you're all sort of looking at it from like, no, the American dream is this, right? And like, no, it's this. And so you have all these different perspectives. And I think that's what Darren was playing with, of just like the same idea, the same moment, the same memory, but from a different, you know, all these different perspectives. Yeah, I feel like, I mean, basically, I feel like our country is going crazy. it's in keeping with like the increase in sort of horror film or the Romero kind of coming up, you know, starting the Day of the Dead series in reaction to racism and then in reaction to the Cold War. We kind of like pull out our demons and play with them when we're feeling unsafe, I think.
Yeah, and Chris Carter and the X-Files have been particularly good at that over the years. They've always had their finger on the pulse or about what's coming over the next hill. And there's definite references, not even directly to what's happening with the US political situation, but it's in there. It's definitely in there. Yeah. And you know, it's the same in England. You know, we've got our own similar kind of problems in a way. We feel like we're going through a very similar thing about identity and perspective and just seeing so many. I mean, me personally, I'm very much on the, I don't know how much you've read about Brexit, but I'm on the Remain side. So,
right.
You know, and it feels like we're on two sides now. It feels like there's Leave, Remain, and you've got a country that's completely divided, and one side looks at the other side and thinks, you're crazy. Why would you think this way? Why would you do this? And it's a scary time.
It is scary. But the interesting thing is, and I keep trying to go back to this, anytime I sort of debate a Trump supporter or something, at the core, everyone wants the same thing. You know, everyone wants safety and security and stability. And so it's interesting when we feel like we're arguing about different things, we're arguing for the same goal, but it's the execution is the sort of, you know, way of getting to that is where we see each other as crazy. I feel like people would benefit if they just sort of said, like, so at the end of the day, you don't want to be killed and I don't want to be killed, right? So, what's the Venn diagram there? So are we
that's pretty true, really. I think you should run for president, Brian. I think that simple logic would work, I think.
Yeah. It's hard to put on a bumper sticker, though. I guess nobody wants to die. Husky. 2020.
If I was American, I'd vote for you. It is interesting that, you know, Darren Morgan and the rest of the X-Files team are tapping into these things. And it's good. I think that's why people enjoy it so much. And I think why it strikes a chord because, you know, always through fiction, this is how we can, you know, try and make sense of it all in many ways or come to understand it. So, but yeah, thank you, Brian, for coming on and talking about this. It's been really nice to speak to you and get your perspective on this guest appearance, which everyone in the world has seen except me right now.
me too. You and I both.
Yeah, well, yeah, both of us. Yeah, but I cannot wait to see this one. I genuinely mean that in that I love all these episodes. So I'm really, really excited for next week.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This is really exciting, and I'm like, I hope I don't sound stupid. I mean, I think I sounded pretty stupid when I couldn't remember Mulder, but then you know what? I think I covered up for it.
Yeah, I'd say so. I think and the other guy. We're just gonna call him the other guy now. Like,
I'm sure he'll be fine as he referred to as the other guy on the show,
Scully and the other guy. But I encourage everyone to. You go to YouTube and find Brian's special that he's mentioned. My Neighbor's House, Mr. Neighbor's House. While they do that, where else can they find you also as well? What else have you got coming up, Brian, that people might be interested in?
Well, let's see. So I'm doing another Mr. Neighbor's House next week. There's a series here in the U.S. called Another Period. That's sort of like it's almost like one of those reality TV shows about a spoiled rich family, and it's set in the 1900s. So it's a lot of sort of like upper crust bad behavior. That's on Comedy Central, and that starts on Tuesday. And I think that's it. I'm in a movie called Futile and Stupid Gesture, which is about the origins of the National Lampoon.
Is this where you play John Landis?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. That must be fun.
That's just like a cameo-tastic movie with all these, you know, people dressed up like they're comedy heroes. I think that drops Tuesday on Netflix.
Great.
No, not Tuesday, Friday. It's a big media week, guys. Big media
week. Lots going on.
But then apart from that, I'm on Instagram at @TheBrianHusky, and I'm on Twitter, but I like my Instagram better. So,
well, we're not on Instagram, the XCast. We should be, really, but a lot of our listeners will be. So follow Brian, guys. Thanks again. It's been
cool.
It's been really great to have you on.
Thanks, Tony. I appreciate it.
So yeah, big thanks to Brian for coming on the show, and we'll be back very soon for coverage for our listener mailbag for The Lost Art of Forehead Sweat, so you can find out what everyone thought about the episode, and we'll be back for more season 11 coverage after that. So always remember, guys, until next time, trust no one. The X-Cast and X-Files podcast is produced and presented by Tony Black alongside a dedicated group of podcasters and X-Files fans. You can find us on Twitter at @X_cast, on Facebook at the X-Cast and X-Files podcast, or our Facebook group, the X-Cast Basement and X-Files podcast fan group. And our title song is by Will A, who you can find on Twitter at @IAmWillAye.